Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, a second hour of the program, heard nationally for 2 hours, locally in some places like WOR in New York, for just 1 hour. You can get our full program by going to drhoffman.com and downloading the podcast, or you can click the Listen Live button at noon, from noon to 2 p.m. each weekend and on Saturdays. This item, and we'll take calls in just a moment, 888-302-3684, and we got several callers waiting. Pain relievers tied to heart rhythm disorder. And this is the latest revelation about a downside of a category of drugs called NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. They include Motrin, Aleve, and also prescription drugs like Celebrex and Vioxx. Vioxx taken off the market because it was associated with a much higher risk of heart death. It's estimated that tens of thousands of people may have died as a result of these prescription NSAIDs. And they're very, very commonly used. And I personally, you know, from time to time, you know, I get a sports injury, get a little sore, and I'm tempted to use an NSAID. I mean, I wouldn't use it for a long period of time, but maybe just for an injury, just to get a little pain relief. But I have to say, for me personally, instantaneously, when I take an NSAID, I immediately develop uncomfortable heartburn. And I never have heartburn under any other circumstances, no matter how spicy the food, whatever I eat. I got an iron gut. But when it comes to NSAIDs, these are things that irritate the gastrointestinal tract. They can cause ulcers. They send people to the hospital quite often due to bleeding ulcers, tens of thousands of cases annually. And they also may cause, if they don't cause overt bleeding or GERD or pain, they may cause leaky gut. They may cause tiny microscopic perforations in the intestinal tract, which allows bacterial toxins and food particles, microscopic food particles, to traverse the intestinal wall, causing mischief in the systemic circulation, causing problems in the heart, the brain, the arteries, the joints, possibly setting the stage for autoimmune disorders and inflammatory conditions. And, oh, by the way, if you're having surgery and you're in pain, never take an NSAID, because the NSAIDs actually prevent healing. I was told explicitly by my surgeon when I broke my hip a couple of years ago that no matter what the temptation, while your bone is healing, don't take Advil. Don't take ibuprofen, because this drug will provide some pain relief, but it will delay healing. And on it goes. There are problems associated with the kidneys for people who take a lot of these medications. I saw one woman, and she was on dialysis. And I asked her, how did she get to that point? Did she have high blood pressure or diabetes? What was the cause of her need to go on dialysis? And she said it was simply because for many years, she took about 6 or 8 Advils every day and subsequently developed kidney failure. Just moderate use. I mean, she didn't take 15 or 20. She was taking recommended amounts, perhaps a little more, and ended up with kidney failure. High blood pressure associated with these medications, because they may compromise the ability of the kidneys to filter out excess fluid, and increased risk of blood clots. Now, this is new, brand new, reported on just this week. Atrial fibrillation in this study of 8,423 people in Holland was highly associated with the use of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Current or recent use of these drugs was associated with an 80% increased risk of atrial fibrillation. Now, a caution flag here, this is not necessarily a causal relationship. We haven't demonstrated yet that these drugs cause atrial fibrillation. It may just be that people who are in pain, achy, inflamed, they have a higher risk of atrial fibrillation to begin with, so they're taking ibuprofen. But, by the way, in this category, in the study, they included aspirin. So, so much for the protective effects of aspirin against at least this form of heart disease. There was no protective effect. In fact, those using ibuprofen and or aspirin had an 80% increased risk of atrial fibrillation. So preferred way of dealing with inflammation, take fish oil, take extra vitamin D, eat an anti-inflammatory diet, which is a diet low in sugar and refined foods and rich in anti-inflammatory spices, olive oil, omega-3-rich fish, lots and lots of healthy, colorful fruits and vegetables, which may contain anti-inflammatory substances. That's the way to go. Consider products like Mareva curcumin. Mareva is the brand of curcumin that we use because it's exceptionally bioavailable. It gets to the problem because it's better absorbed. One of the problems with ordinary curcumin is that it's poorly absorbed, but the makers of Mareva have figured out a delivery system, a liposomal delivery system, that enables the body to absorb more of this wonderful anti-inflammatory substance, and it goes directly to the joints or the muscles or tendons where you want to target inflammation and pain. So these are some of the preferable strategies. NSAIDs, I say avoid NSAIDs. I can't even take them, luckily for me, right? As soon as I take them, boom, heartburn. So the author of the study says, quote, his name is Dr. Bruno Stricker, a professor at Erasmus University Medical Center in Rotterdam. He says, quote, I would really strongly advise that older people be very careful with using these drugs. They don't do anything except relieve pain. Pain is a nuisance, but dying is a nuisance, too. And I couldn't have said it better. I can't do a very good Dutch accent, but that's what this Dutch professor of pharmacoepidemiology has to say about the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. All right, let's talk now to Nicholas from New Jersey. How you doing, Nick?
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Hoffman?
Good, thanks.
Hey, I'm calling about the article you put up about the 12 supplements you should never take, and I was just wondering if there's any exceptions to that rule.
Okay.
Especially when it comes to, like, I'd say niacin, because I've taken that for probably a couple months now.
Okay, great. Yeah, so, by the way, this very popular article. You know, I never know. I put up these articles, and sometimes it's like, you know, I get ready, stand back, and, yeah, they're popular, but they're not that well received. And this article just got a tremendous reception. It got thousands and thousands of hits all over the Internet. Lots of people shared it. The 12 supplements that you should never take. And among them, and you check it out at drhoffman.com, because we've just put it up on my website. Among them, I include niacin, but not any type of niacin, but a type of niacin that, in my opinion, really shouldn't be on the market because it doesn't work. I mean, there are a couple of reasons why things shouldn't be on the market. One is if they're toxic or dangerous, and the other is if they're just inefficacious and a ripoff. And one that I put up there is niacin hexanicotinate, or the so-called no-flush niacin. And that is a form of niacin that doesn't even deliver the cholesterol-lowering benefits. In this case, it's a perfect example of no pain, no gain. You know, you without the flush or the potential for a flush, you're not going to really achieve a benefit. Now, are you taking that very substance, or are you taking another form of niacin?
Supplement called NADH.
Yeah, NADH is actually, that's different. That's a nicotinamide. Nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide, or NADH, is actually an energy-enhancing substance. It's related to niacin, related to vitamin B3, but it's not niacin per se. And what are you taking that for? Fatigue? You're taking it for Parkinson's disease? What's the reason?
Well, actually, I'm taking it for cholesterol. I'm 24 years old, and my doctor saw that I had high cholesterol, and he prescribed Lipitor, and I was a little unsure about that.
Yeah, so are you sure you're taking NADH?
Yeah, it's NADH from Now Vitamins.
Well, that's weird. That's just weird because that's now. Are you noticing any decline in your cholesterol? Because that's really not purposed for lowering cholesterol. That's more of an energy enhancer, like a mitochondrial support nutrient.
Well, and one of the things that I do have a hypersomnolence from one of my doctors,
this is getting too complicated. This is getting too, because, like, you know, I'll just tell you straight out that by taking NADH. You're not going to lower your cholesterol. So if you desire something as an alternative to Lipitor to lower your cholesterol, just take a niacin that is in a, you could take a slow release niacin in a wax matrix. I don't recommend the other slow release niacins because they actually have a tendency to cause more liver problems. Niacin should always be administered under doctor's supervision. You can take 500 milligrams of niacin 3 times daily. It'll nicely lower cholesterol. If you have flushing, make sure you take quercetin about a half an hour before your niacin. It actually is very helpful for reducing your flushing that you might get from niacin. Niacin lowers cholesterol, plus it has the property of raising HDL. Doctors tend to poo-poo niacin because in a recent study it didn't help lower cardiovascular risk, but that's when it was used as an add-on for a statin drug. So it's a little like testing the efficacy of suspenders if you're already wearing a belt. Niacin alone has benefits. It lowers cholesterol, raises HDL. It is something that can be beneficial. Also will lower triglycerides. And clearly that could be beneficial for some people with high cholesterol. All right. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684. Keep the calls coming on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Some reader email. This is from Anthony. Dr. Ron, you're nailing it spot on with your podcasts. Big time. Appreciate them as they get into the subject from your heart. And we're very happy to hear that Anthony's enjoying our podcasts. He joins over 100,000 individual podcast downloaders this past month. So getting lots of people to listen to additional Intelligent Medicine broadcasts that are available via drhoffman.com. Big one this week is Natural Therapies for Autism and ADD with America's foremost integrative pediatric neurologist. Lots of pediatric neurologists, mostly they're dishing out Ritalin and ADD medication. But Dr. Shatrit Klein, who we interviewed for one of our podcasts this week, specializes in natural therapies for autism and ADD. Get that podcast because it's great. Anthony also writes, I started also to look at your store products at drhoffman.com and noticed that everything you have there is the best of the very best. I also noticed what nutraceuticals you take and when, and have to say I'm rethinking what I take. So thanks for the kind words, Anthony, and I hope that you're benefiting from your interaction with Intelligent Medicine. Let's take a call now from Carol, who is in Manhattan. How you doing, Carol?
I'm so glad that you're back on the air at this time. I never was off,
but I was on at kind of an obscure time, which worked for some people. Some people actually like to listen to the radio late at night. On Sunday nights at 11, I was on, but then, you know, now I'm back on. It'll be smooth sailing now for the rest of the summer and fall, I guess.
Anyway, in my last blood, well, in my blood test, the ALK, which is the phosphatase isoenzyme, was a little high. And when they broke it down, it seems it to be the bone isoenzyme.
Oh. Okay, good. Because I was going to ask you, alkaline phosphatase is a blood test that can be ambiguous. Because when it's elevated, it's okay, it's elevated. But what does that mean? Is it related to bone or is it related to the liver? And in your case, they broke down the isoenzymes, or the subtypes of alkaline phosphatase, and so they point to bone as the cause. All right.
So what does that mean, and is it mine high? Mine is 69, and they say the range is 28 to 66.
Yeah, so it's a little high, and what that suggests is that you're experiencing too rapid bone turnover, which might lead to osteoporosis. Have you? Presumably you've had a DEXA or a bone density scan.
Yeah,
to see?
I mean, I have some osteopenia.
Yeah. So what that suggests is that you may be having excessive bone turnover. The tiebreaker on that is a test called the NTX test, which is a urine test. And it goes by different names, but we call it at the Hoffman Center the NTX test. And that test will tell you how much bone you're losing at the present time. And it goes from a scale of 15 to maybe 100 and something. And or maybe 70 is the upper limits. And if you're above the upper limits, it means you're spilling bone fragments, not so much fragments, but microscopic particles of your bone into your urine. And that would suggest that you're experiencing a rapid progression to osteoporosis. You know, two ways to find out if you're at risk. One is to get a DEXA, which is a scan. And that tells you the present status. But the other is a more dynamic study that shows the velocity of your bone loss, the rate at which you're losing bone. So that elevated alk phos suggests you may be losing bone. So some things to do, you could consider taking Ostera, which is a wonderful supplement, reduces inflammation in the bone, that slow bone loss. Take additional vitamin K. The product we use is MK7. Ostera, by the way, is spelled O-S-T-E-R-A. You can find it at drhoffman.com, but you can't find it in health food stores because it's not made for retail. It's made for doctors to dispense, and we give it to our patients. We offer it via drhoffman.com. Also, OsteoSupport, which is a combo of nutrients that I formulated way back to combat osteoporosis, not just calcium but other cofactors. And you may have to check your vitamin D, make sure it's adequate. Do you know your vitamin D levels? Are they good?
About 60, 65.
That sounds good. That's actually good. Not yet, because I would have to know your actual situation. But in many cases, I prescribe strontium as a way of slowing bone loss and enhancing bone. But I have to say that I think really strontium should be used with some supervision by a nutritionally oriented health practitioner who understands the problem of bone loss, because it's an exceptional nutrient and it's very strong. And we only like to use it for people who really need it. And sometimes we want to limit the amount of time that people are on it. I talked to a woman the other day. She's been on it for 10 years. That's probably too long. You know, just like osteoporosis medications, we want to get in there, use them for a short period of time, for a few years, and then usually they're not necessary long term. All right, 888-302-3684. That's our number, and we'll be back in just a moment with more Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Powell.
Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic aged garlic extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic aged garlic extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic aged garlic extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking Kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic aged garlic extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I can't think of a place I'd rather be than right here behind this very microphone because I get to share vital health information with you. There's nothing better than that on a Saturday afternoon. Let's talk now to Roseanne. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Love to hear your voice again. I missed it terribly.
That's my pleasure.
Quick question. Yearly blood work. Basically, we're always looking at my cholesterol, but this time I have extremely high cholesterol with the high LDLs are getting higher, but the HDL is high. But my main question to you is it came back that my liver enzyme, the A, S as in Sam, T as in Thomas,
right,
was 36 versus the normal 32. She just said come back in 30 days with no advice.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, here's the thing. I mean, what you're showing is some degree of liver stress. And this is actually really common in patients who have high cholesterol and, in particular, high triglycerides. Are your triglycerides a little elevated, over 100?
No, they're actually 47.
They're 47? Okay. So the stress may come from a variety of causes. If you're taking medication, if you're subject to a toxic environment, if you have toxic body fat that is actually creating a stress on your liver because the liver is the main detoxification organ, if you have internal toxicity due to a disrupted microbiome due to dysbiosis, that's an imbalance of the bacteria in your intestinal tract. The first organ that sees the toxicity from your intestinal tract is the liver. But the most common cause of these slight liver function abnormalities is what's called NAFLD, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And in particular, because your AST is higher than your ALT, right? Your ALT is normal, but your AST is higher?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you drink a little bit of wine here and there? You know,
well, I'll tell you what I have done in the last year. My husband is a wine collector, and to join him at night, but very, very little. I would even say a quarter of a glass.
And I'm not accusing you of being a big boozer, but you know, women are particularly sensitive to the effects of alcohol. To some extent, this is also genetic. Sometimes when the AST is higher than the ALT, it reflects a little bit of the toxic effects of alcohol on the liver. So I would, you know, if you cut that out, boom, you know, your AST is going to come right down. The other thing is you may want to reduce your intake of carbohydrates and sugars, because the high glycemic index foods tend to accumulate in the liver and may cause fatty liver. The NAFLD stands for non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And just the presence of that is correlated with cardiovascular risk. And you do have a high cholesterol and high LDL. So it kind of makes a story that maybe you have a touch of fatty liver and you have some increased cardiovascular risk. And you could curtail that by going on a lower carbohydrate diet, eating healthy proteins, lots of fruits and vegetables, and less in the way of flour products. Also consider a product called CM Core. The CM stands for cardiometabolic, and when we refer to insulin resistance or the metabolic syndrome, it's highly correlated with fatty liver. CM Core I find very helpful for helping patients detoxify their livers and reduce their insulin resistance, lose weight, and tune up. Another thing that would be helpful for your liver, consider milk thistle. Milk thistle is great for liver problems. Also, phosphatidylcholine. I mean, I just had a patient just like you in the office the other day, and she's concerned because her same test, the AST was slightly high. What's up with that? What can I do? My regular doctor didn't tell me anything. I said, cut down on your alcohol. She wasn't a big drinker, but also consider taking phosphatidylcholine and milk thistle. In a study of baboons who were given as much beer as they wanted to drink. You know, baboons prefer beer to water if given a choice, so they'll just drink beer all day long, and they'll develop severe liver problems as a result. By giving them phosphatidylcholine, it was shown that you could prevent the liver problems. So that might be a way to offset the... I mean, look, if you're a big boozer and it's toxic to your liver, there's no way around it. You have to reduce your intake. I'm not accusing you of that. But one way to protect your liver with a little modest alcohol intake is to take a concentrated phosphatidylcholine. The product we use is called Phoscol. You can find it at drhoffman.com. All right? I think that'll work for you. Let's talk to Rachel. Welcome. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I just have to tell you, I'm an old patient of yours, and you've helped me immeasurably.
Well, that's great.
My question today is, what blood test would you recommend to determine if you have a malnutrition syndrome going on?
That's very... Okay, so is this about you, or are you concerned about somebody
it's
else?
It's about me, yes.
Okay. Well, you know, number one, you'd look at the patient, and you make sure that, you know, they look at their height and their weight. You look at the condition of the skin and the hair. I mean, these are sometimes signs of malnutrition, dry skin, thinning hair. But in terms of blood tests, the most revealing blood test is something called a prealbumin. Now, a prealbumin, it's P-R-E, like...
Yeah.
Preview, okay,
yeah.
Dash albumin, A-L-B-U-M-I-N, all right?
Okay.
Now, this is a test that's infrequently done. On just about every regular blood test, you'll get your albumin done.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be very profoundly malnourished to have a lowered albumin. But as sort of a preview of this, or an early warning sign of malnutrition, the prealbumin can give you the heads up. So sometimes we see patients and they say that they're eating regular, but maybe they're a little bit on the eating disorder side. So if we do a prealbumin, sometimes we can pick that up. Also testing for specific nutrients, testing for beta carotene. That's actually not a bad test for malnutrition. Although some people, you know, on a total vegan diet, they may be malnourished vis-a-vis protein and fat, and eating tons and tons of vegetables, they have very high beta carotene. So it differs. It depends on what's going on. In younger women, a very useful sign of malnutrition is if your period stops. But that may not help you because you're past the age of menopause and we wouldn't know. Then there's the possibility that you're eating, but you're malabsorbing. So there's some people who try to eat like a house on fire, but they're not absorbing the nutrients, or they're taking vitamins and they're simply not absorbing them because of some condition in their gastrointestinal tract. That's a different form of malnutrition that can occur even in the face of eating excessively. And amazingly, you can be malnourished if you're obese. And that I think we have an epidemic in America of overnutrition and malnutrition. In other words, there's overnutrition vis-a-vis calories, but there may be malnutrition when it comes to the critical micronutrients, the vitamins and supplements that keep us healthy. So we can slice and dice this problem various ways, but simple way to determine if you're malnourished is check the prealbumin. It's a pretty sensitive test for determining that. All right. All the best to you, and nice hearing from you after all these years. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Doctor of Heroes Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking taking Dr. O'Hara's probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live, beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Back to Intelligent Medicine, 888-302-3684 for calls. And we got Carol from Philadelphia, PA. Hey, Carol.
I was just diagnosed with shingles.
Oh.
And I wondered...
Where is it affecting you, the shingles?
It's on my back, sort of off to the side, you know, sort of typical, I guess, where it usually shows up.
Yeah.
And I'm on the valacyclovir.
Valtrex, yeah.
Yes, sir. And I just wondered what else I could do. I was, you know, thinking of lysine. Would that help, or whatever would help?
Yeah, taking lysine at the same time you're taking Valtrex is a little bit like spitting into a hurricane, because the Valtrex is a much more powerful antiviral than the lysine. The lysine offers some antiviral effect against herpes viruses, and I guess it wouldn't hurt to take it. It just might be a superfluous add-on if you're already taking a prescription antiviral. So what I do when patients have shingles, we try to get them in at the earliest onset of shingles, and we give them intravenous vitamin C and B vitamins, and we also give them a B12 shot. And the reason for the B12 shot is because the B12 is very helpful for nerve pain. And I have to say that we've seen some pretty darn near miraculous results with our patients with shingles. Very quick resolution of what sometimes is a very prolonged, agonizing pain syndrome. We really want to hit it off at the pass before you develop postherpetic neuralgia, which is the shingles itself is bad, but the long-term consequence of shingles is that you'll develop a chronic pain syndrome, which is very hard to eradicate. And patients who have that after having had shingles many weeks or months before, they're the hardest ones to treat. So we'd like to get patients to come in early. That's the key. And so I have a question for you. Did you take the shingles vaccine?
No, I did not. No.
Okay. So... Yeah, a lot of people ask about that, and they say, well, gee, if I'd taken the shingles vaccine, would this have prevented it? And the answer is there's only partial protection afforded by the shingles vaccine. It's not really that efficacious. I'm not going to say it's without efficacy, but in precisely the people who get the worst cases of shingles, it doesn't seem to make that much difference. The elderly, the immune-suppressed, these are the people who really need protection against shingles because they're very susceptible. They seem to get the least protection. So we don't know if it would have made a big difference whether you got the vaccine. So anyway, so the other thing, what stage are you at? How long has it been going on for?
Well, it was diagnosed, I actually found the rash on Wednesday, this past Wednesday. Got to the doctor the next day and got on the Valtrex.
Okay.
And here's what's weird, and touch wood, I don't have the usual what you see described, you know, the burning, the tingling, the agonizing pain.
Good.
Have you seen that?
That's good news, because it suggests that you have a mild case and that you're less likely to get the postherpetic neuralgia. I mean, there's some people where the pain is so severe that if just a little breeze blows and ruffles their hair, if it's on their forehead, they have agonizing pain. So this is less likely to result in postherpetic neuralgia. I would suggest also that you take, a double dose of vitamin D, you know, maybe 10,000 of vitamin D for a week, you know, and then go back down to your usual dose, because higher doses of vitamin D help the immune system overcome viruses. And you have little pustules, like little blisters on your skin?
They don't look like blisters per se to me, but the two doctors have looked at it and said, yeah, it's shingles, though.
Okay, so, but if often you have these open sores or blisters, and that's something that you could apply a drying solution to, like Dombro solution. You can get it you can get it at a pharmacy. But once the if the pain persists after the pustules dry up and the skin is not broken, you can apply capsaicin cream. It's actually a very effective way to get the sting out of your skin. It stings a little when you apply it, but it actually draws the pain out if you apply it very, very judiciously four times daily. Capsaicin cream, available over-the-counter at pharmacies and health food stores. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is Intelligent Medicine.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. We've got Linda on the line from Connecticut. Hi, Linda.
I want to say I absolutely love your program. Listen to
Thank
it
you.
Every Saturday, 8 to 10 in the Hartford area. I just received blood test results, and my doctor's away until Tuesday, but he's never tested me for these before, and I'm kind of curious what it means. One is the DHEA sulfate.
Right.
And my result was 10.4.
Okay, that is a low level of an adrenal hormone, which makes a difference in terms of your overall vitality, energy, muscle mass. It can fend off muscle loss as you get older. It may have something to do with sex drive and libido as well, especially in women. And it can be easily supplemented with an over-the-counter supplement, DHEA. So I think it's pretty important, and your levels are kind of low.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, I am fatigued all the time, but I also have thyroid issues and lack of sleep and high cortisol.
It all goes together. You know, high cortisol and low DHEA is a common pattern of adrenal dysfunction. What we want is we want to bring that cortisol down, reducing your stress, and we want to increase the DHEA. They're kind of like a seesaw. You want to bring up the DHEA and lower the cortisol.
Okay, I understand. And how about the pregnenolone? That was the other thing I was tested for. It says my result was, it looks like less than 5.
So that's you have vanishingly small levels of pregnenolone and DHEA. And those are things that your doctor may want to supplement, because that clearly is a plausible way to enhance your energy. So, you know, I mean, I think he's on the right track. All right. That's all the time that we have for this week's edition of Intelligent Medicine. I enjoyed very much your calls, lots of calls today. So we really had a chance to answer a wide variety of your concerns. If you couldn't get through today, email us your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. We'll use those questions for our weekday podcasts, especially Q&A with Layla. You can check those out at drhoffman.com, plus lots of content. And have a happy Palm Sunday, Passover, Good Friday, and Easter, and a very blessed week to you and your family. We'll be back once again at our usual time, noon to 2 p.m., with Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks for joining us.